Welcome to an audio reading of Pieces of Iowa's Past. This publication, issued by the Iowa State Capitol Tour Guides of the Legislative Services Agency weekly during the legislative session, features historical facts about Iowa, the Capitol, and the early workings of state government. Portions of each article may have items not practicable for oral interpretation. To see all accompanying photographs, select journal pages, portions of bills, newspaper articles, and other graphics, please view the hard copy versions at www.legis.iowa.gov and select the Resources and Civic Educations tab.
Pieces of Iowa's Past. This week, examining the eights, cost reduction for steel rails, January 23rd, 2019. Examining the eights, cost reduction for steel rails. This year begins the 88th Iowa General Assembly. This second Pieces of Iowa's Past article will briefly examine the work of the 18th General Assembly. The 18th General Assembly convened for 76 days, from January 12th through March 27th, 1880. Lore Alford was the Speaker of the House, and Lieutenant Frank Campbell presided over the Senate. Iowa's population was 1,624,615, according to the 1880 census, ranking Iowa as the 10th most populous state. John Gere was governor, serving two terms from 1878 to 1882. The 18th General Assembly approved a resolution requesting that Congress pass a law to reduce the duty on steel rails. In 1880, the demand for steel rails was high. The U.S. railroads were replacing earlier, less structurally sound rails and also constructing new lines. Less than 30% of American lines were steel in 1880. By 1890, that had increased to about 50%. By 1900, more than 90% of the American railroad lines were using steel rails. The perception of Iowa during this time was that any increase in the price of the rails was eventually passed on to the passengers and the Iowa farmer. The following is the 18th General Assembly Joint Resolution. Joint Resolutions. Mr. Duncombe offered the following resolution, which was adopted. Memorial of the General Assembly of the State of Iowa, asking Congress to reduce the duty on steel rails. Whereas, the duty on steel rails amounts at the present time to $28 per ton. And during the year 1869, steel rails have sold in England at $22 per ton. And, whereas, this duty amounts to an absolute prohibition of the importation of steel rails, so that only 16,316 tons of such rails have been imported into the United States since 1874. And whereas a combination is believed to have been made between the manufacturers of steel rails in the United States, by which the price has been raised far above the cost of manufacturing the same, and a fair profit to the manufacturers. And, whereas, the use of steel rails is great economy in the transportation of heavy freights, and the present high price of such rails is caused by such high rate of duty, and the combination of the producers of such rails in the United States. And the same imposes a heavy burden upon the people of the state of Iowa. Therefore, be it resolved by the House of Representatives of the state of Iowa, the Senate concurring, that our senators be requested and our representatives instructed to favor the passage of a law of Congress reducing the duty upon steel rails to the lowest possible rate. This is an excerpt from Governor John Gere's inaugural address. The Davenport Democrat, Davenport, Iowa, January 7, 1880, page 4. Governor Gere, in his inaugural message, will take strong ground against the Benner Steel Rail Monopoly as injurious to the interests of Iowa and other Western agricultural states needing more railroads, and will recommend instructions to Iowa congressmen to secure more liberal rates on foreign steel rails. Excerpt of Governor John Gere's inaugural address concerning tariffs on steel rails. To a state whose products are, in the main, agricultural, as are those of Iowa, anything which enhances the cost of railways thereby, even incidentally in the least degree, increasing the expense of the transportation of her products to the seaboard, which is her great market, is a question of great interest to all. In view of their greater strength and durability, which lessen the cost of replacement, all the great trunk railway lines of the country are adopting Bessemer steel rails. The manufacture of this class of rails in the United States is controlled by a combination of, not exceeding, I think, 10 firms in number. This combination is protected by a high and specific tariff, which prevents the importation of foreign rails to any extent, thereby increasing the cost of the railways of the country. Without discussing the tariff question in all its bearings, it may well be considered whether it is wise legislation, by a tariff exceptional in its character, to put immense profits into the pockets of a monopoly composed of but few persons at the expense, indirectly, not only of Iowa farmers, but of the whole West. It would, therefore, be well to instruct our senators and request our representatives in Congress to examine into this subject, with a view to removing, by congressional legislation, any discrimination which may be found to exist in the tariff on steel rails against the interests of Iowa producers. The Bessemer process was developed in 1855 when Englishman Henry Bessemer invented a process to create steel from iron which produced steel cheaply and efficiently. The Bessemer process was an extremely important invention because it helped to make stronger rails for constructing the railroads. This is an excerpt from American-Rails.com. Throughout most of the 19th century, iron was the primary choice for railroad track and every other structure being built. However, in the 1890s, the much stronger and durable steel was introduced. Steel was not only much stronger than iron, but because it had a longer lifespan, railroad purchasing agents were willing to pay more for it. An excerpt from American-Rails.com.